This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulullah al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ashadu la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashadu Muhammadin abduhu rasul. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It's a great chance to be here in Oslo. I never dreamed, really, even if you asked me 1 year ago, are we going to be in a place called Oslo in Norway? I would say, I don't think so. But alhamdulillah, here we are. Our project actually was not to come here, although I'm very glad we did. It was fantastic to come here. But actually what happened, how it all came about, was while we were in England last year for the GPU, Global Peace and Unity, I had a good chance to meet some of our brothers and sisters from Norway, but from way up Northway in Norway. You like that? Northway, and I forget about it. Anyway, so they're from a place called Tromsø. You know Tromsø? Yeah? It was amazing. They said, would you please come to Tromsø, Norway? I said, what's it close to? They said, the Arctic Sea. I said, where's that? They said, it's the northernmost part of Norway. I said, what's up there? They said, water and lots of sunlight in the summer. And I didn't really understand what they were talking about, but a good friend of mine insisted. He said, you have to go. You have to go. So we went. And alhamdulillah, I'm so glad we did. A few people made shahada, but something else happened too. Something so amazing that I never dreamed I would see it. And we were able to capture this on video, because we were doing a documentary anyway about some of my travels, places that I go. And our brother Harris, who is with us today, has a film company and wants to do this documentary. He said he wants to go, so we went. While we were there, the iman increased 1,000 times. Why? Well, I had never imagined, first of all, I'm going to be on top of the world. To stand on top of the world. You have a globe. You look at the globe and you see how it is on the top. I got to stand up there on the top of it. But just last year, I was on the bottom of the globe at a place called New Zealand. Has anybody been to New Zealand? Anybody? One? Two? Anybody else? Three? Four? New Zealand? MashaAllah. New Zealand's masjid is the one which is the farthest south of all the masajid in the world. Now, you think it's amazing to stand on top of the globe. How about when you go underneath the globe on the bottom and you have to really hold on tight? And we had a good chance to go from the most extreme south to the most extreme north masjid. That is enough, isn't it? Just to talk about this, and that was my plan to make the documentary about the two extremes. Because this is playing with words a little bit, but you know in Islam, where most of the Muslims are today, are around the equator. Did you know that? The majority of the Muslims are in like Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, and parts of Africa. Turkey is not that far from the equator when you look at the globe, right? Somali. Anybody from Somali? One person? Two? Oh, okay. I love you guys. So I'm thinking in terms of most of the Muslims are in the middle. You see? Extremes are there, but the majority of the Muslims are right in the middle. And that's also true in the real world today, that Islam wants us to be Ummatin Wasitin. What's wasta in the middle? Yeah? Balanced, yeah? Balanced. So there are a few extreme people, but most of the Muslims, they're in the middle. Right? So this was another idea I had. But something I didn't even plan on at all is what increased the iman. What happened? Well, we were there. We landed, you know, start taking care of this and that. We went to the masjid. When you're a traveler, you combine your prayers of Dhuha and Asr together. And you shorten them. Qasr wa Jama'ah. Also, when it's time for the prayer of the sunset, Maghrib, you can combine it. Now, you can't short that. That's three. You can't do 1.5. You don't laugh at these jokes, okay? That's okay. So you pray three, and then you pray two for Isha. Right? So we had prayed the combination of Dhuhr and Asr, and we kept looking. When's the... It's not time for Maghrib. Okay. And we would go on, do so-and-so, and see these people, hello, they give a talk, came out. Still not time for Maghrib. Okay. And finally somebody said, you know, it's like almost midnight. Huh? What do you mean midnight? I said, yeah, it's... You guys didn't pray Maghrib? It's not time. We wait for the sun to go down. They said, well, that would be in July the 2nd. I say, what? Because it's called the land of the midnight sun. At midnight, you're still looking at the sun. I said, okay, we're going to change the whole program. Let's talk about that. That sounds much more interesting. But then it really hit me. How do you guys know when to pray? They said, because of the hadith of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it's like it was the first time I heard this hadith. Because even though we talked about it before, even though you read it and you say, you know, if you find this condition, la 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 la, you're just talking about it like from a point of view of like a library with books in it, not really experiencing it. But when you're up there and it's summertime, the last time the sun really disappears is May 20. And it doesn't disappear again until July 20th. Something like that. Is that a long time? If you're trying to count your prayers, it is. I was thinking, wow, you only have to pray 5 times in 2 months. It's not too bad. And then they said the sun goes down the same way. What is it, in November, December, something like this. And it's totally gone. Completely gone for 2 months. Wow, you wouldn't have to do salah at all. They said, la, 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 la. Come on, Shaykh. You know the hadith. And the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that there would come a day when you, and he says you, meaning the Muslims, would find a day which is more than 40 days. A long time. One day. They said, then how will we do our salah? Our prayers, our salah is 5 times a day. And it's you have to do it. He told them, you will gauge it or estimate it according to the closest place that has regular timing. Until you're there, you don't catch this. He said the closest place that has a regular timing. This is 2 places at the same time. I didn't catch that before, and I've read that hadith. You've read the hadith. But did you ever think he said the closest... How did he know that there would be 2 places? One having this extreme weeks and weeks of the same sun, but another place at the same time will have regular prayer time. Gauge your salah according to the place it's having regular prayer time. This is a prophecy, because 1,400 years ago, nobody knew the earth was round, did they? No, they didn't. And they sure didn't know about a place called Tromsø, did they? So while you're there and you're thinking about this, you're thinking, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. But I want to share with you another hadith. Actually, there's several, but this particular one, it's saying that there would come a day, it will come a day when the Muslims, it is not talking about kafir, said the Muslims would be in doubt about the qadr of Allah. What? They would be saying, well, if this is so-and-so, then how is this? Huh? Doubting the qadr of Allah. The qadr of Allah means Allah already has everything. It's all written. It's all going to happen exactly according to plan. This is the qadr of Allah, yes or no? And there will be people who will doubt this from the Muslims. Is that happening today? Huh? Of course we know the kuffar are going to do that. They don't believe in Allah anyway. They don't believe in a lot of stuff. They don't believe in the angels. They don't want to believe in all the books. They don't believe in all the prophets. Some of them say we're not going to really come back. We're going to be floating around in spirits and all kind of stuff. But when a Muslim says, if everything's already written for me, then why should I even bother? It means he just proved that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a prophet of Allah. Whoops. Because he said it. Is the qadr of Allah part of Islam, yes or no? Is it the sixth pillar of belief? We believe in Allah, wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rasuli, wa liyamu al-akhir, wa qadratullah. Sir? Anybody have any doubt about these six pillars? I'm sure you've got some books around here to tell you what the six pillars of Iman. Yes or no? Or is it just five pillars or five and a half pillars? No. So another hadith. Amazing. Well, then what about the one who said, well, yeah, but you know the Quran. The Quran is from Allah. We know Allah will preserve the Quran. We don't have any doubt about that. It's preserved. But we don't know about hadith. Have you heard this? How do we know? I mean, you know, the hadith, I don't know. But we'll believe the Quran. Are you ready? The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, also said that there would come a day when some people would only take the Quran and not his teachings. By the way, if you're going to make up a religion and make a prophecy about it, you would never prophesy that it would one day fall apart, would you? No. And you would never prophesy something that would make it look like, well, you know, there must be some problems. You wouldn't do that. But he was clear on these issues that we're talking about. And as regards those who doubt that the hadith are something to worry about, it's just hadith. Have you heard people say it like that? Is that in the Quran? No. Then I don't follow it. Say, hold on a second. It's in hadith. Oh, brother, that's not Quran. Have you heard this? Huh? So it's not exclusive just to one or two places in the world, is it? And all over the world, Muslims are saying things like this. Muslims! It's not in the Quran. Or is it? First of all, listen to what one of the ways to start the Jummah khutbah is. When you start with Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Nahmaduhu, Astainuhu, Astaghfiruhu, and so, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. Fa inna istaqal hadith Kitab Allah. For sure, the best hadith is the Book of Allah. Huh? So if you say you don't take hadith, I guess you don't need the Quran either. Awadullah. How did we get the Quran? Did the angel Jibril come to you last night and tell you something? Huh? I don't think so. The Quran comes to us by recitation from people who learned it, from some people who already knew it, and they taught that to them. How did they learn it? Well, some people who knew it taught it to them. How did they get it? Well, some people, you get how it works? This goes all the way back to the lips of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right or wrong? And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, and where did he hear it from? Jibril alayhi salam, the angel Gabriel. Yes or no? And you don't doubt that. The chain of narrators coming to us today of Quran, the same chain of narrators brings us hadith. So you will believe that these guys said the absolute truth when it came to the Quran, but they just made up something for hadith? A'udhu billah. Whoo! This is amazing. Or as they say in Arabic, ajib! Too much. When we think about it, how did we turn our back on our own deen and we didn't know it? And some people said, look, I believe in the Quran. I love Allah. Allah loves me. Leave me be. You heard of that before? You tell them, brother, what about Salah? Hey, I love Allah. Allah Ghafur Rahim. Well, brother, what about fasting? Saum Ramadan. Allah Ghafur Rahim. What about your zakah, brother? Allah Ghafur Rahim. Hajj, same thing. Allah Ghafur Rahim. Ukhti, sister, what about hijab? Allah Ghafur Rahim. And you say, no, really, you have to. Ya akhi, qala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. Huh? What? Yeah. It sounded so official the way it did, huh? I think it's in Allah غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ وَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. How come you didn't read that part? Akhi, I'm not Hafiz of the Quran. The second part, I think you know the first part. For sure, Allah, He is the most gracious, the most merciful. But the second part is that Allah is the one who punishes us in a very strong way. Shadeed. This is something very strong. You didn't read that part. Woof. And for the one who keeps saying, I love Allah, Allah loves me, you heard that. But Allah told the Prophet ﷺ what to say. And He didn't just tell him in a hadith Qudsi. He didn't just tell him in a dream or something. No, it's in Quran, clear. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَتَابِعُونِي يُبِّكُمْ اللَّهَ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. This is chapter 3. Verse 31. It's only part of the verse, but it's enough to give you the idea. It's saying to the Prophet ﷺ, say to them, if you really love Allah, follow me. Then Allah will love you. And He will forgive your sins. Because He is the forgiver. He is the merciful. But there's some conditions. You don't just say, I love Allah. I believe in Allah. Well, why don't you obey? This is what's amazing. This is something really big. The one who obeys Allah. Wa Rasul. This is something, faza fawzan azima. So wonderful. So great. All you have to do is believe Allah and obey. Do you notice that how many times in the Quran we find this expression, amanu wa amilu salihat? Amanu means to believe, have iman in Allah. Wa amilu salihat, and do the deeds, amal, of righteousness. But did you know that there's a verse in the Quran when we talk about following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many times it tells us to ati Allah wa ati Rasul, ati Allah wa ati Rasul. You see it over and over. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. And how amazing is the condition of the one? And look what the Quran says. Without mentioning Allah, obey the Rasul. How do you obey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you don't know any hadith? Huh? How would you pray? How would you do your salat? Does it say in Quran, salat is 5 times a day? No, it doesn't. It's hadith. No, I'm sorry, if you know another Quran that I didn't know about, come tell me. Salawatul khams. Does it say it like this? Not in Quran, no. So how do you know it's 5? And how do you know what time? And how do you know what to do when you get to Trumsa? Huh? And how do you know how to fast the month of Ramadan? Now for sure, it says in Quran clearly, using the word abiyad and the word aswad, talking about what? A thread. There's a thread mentioned here. It's in Surah Baqarah when it's telling you about fasting. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Oh, you who believe, fasting is ordered for you like the people min qabli, the before you. Just like the people before you is fasting. So as Allah is telling us about this condition, at one point He's telling us, when do you start the fasting? When? Because during the day you cannot eat or drink or have intimate relations. But at night, enjoy, eat, drink, and be merry. But when is the time? And it says clearly in the Quran, using these two words I mentioned, black and white. When you're able to distinguish the black thread from the white thread. Now, one of the companions of Muhammad, this is a hadith, be aware, for those of you who don't think hadith is anything, but it says in the hadith that he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, you know, I was waiting, I had a white thread and a black thread. And I was waiting for the sun to be enough that I could, you know, but the sun was really up. Fajr is already gone before I could make a distinction between a white and a black thread. Rasulullah ﷺ said, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about on the horizon, the white thread of day from the black thread of night. Oof. How would you know if you didn't have the hadith? Woo. And for sure, if I'm going to be fasting, if I'm going to be fasting and spending a whole day with no food or drink, I'm not going in the summertime to Tromsø. Huh? 2 months, I'd be dead. And in the winter, you couldn't even start the fast at all. Because you're never going to see the white and the black. You can't. Obviously, the Prophet ﷺ came to clarify the message of Islam from Quran to us. There are many things in the Quran that if you don't have the hadith, you don't understand it. You will say the wrong things. I don't want to make those kind of mistakes. I didn't leave Christianity to come to Islam so that I could go to hell. There's no religion on earth easier than Christianity. You don't leave Christianity and go into Islam because you're looking for an easy religion. This is really easy. Just stop and think about it. And I was thinking this when the man was trying to tell me about Islam and I was trying to convert him to Christianity. And he said to me, I'll go to your religion if it's better than my religion. I said, I got him. Because I heard about fasting and salah and zakah and hajj. Ay, ay, ay. But when he said, I'll go to your religion if it's better than mine, I'm thinking, ha, ha, oh, get the water ready. We're going to dunk this boy tonight. And I'm thinking, you don't have to do anything to be a Christian. outside of a statement or two, because there's no salah five times a day. There's no fasting of the whole entire month of Ramadan. There isn't anything about paying any zakah. Well, they do have something about trying to get some of your income, but you don't go to hell if you don't pay it. And if you want to go to Jerusalem, you could go, but why go there when they're bombing everybody and driving tractors over stuff? I don't need to watch all that. So how easy can it be? But then he said the rest of the sentence. I'll go to your religion if it's better than my religion, but you need proof. Huh? Proof. Proof. I never forget how what I was thinking. Religion isn't about proof, man. It's about faith. Just have faith. Faith in what? You know, faith that God was a man on a cross, died for your sins. You don't have to worry about anything. Party hardy, Marty. Have a good time. You know, it's okay. It's okay. Go for it. Some Christians I knew used to call it the JC gold card. Jesus Christ gold card, charge it to him. This is what they said. But when he said that, I said, you know, religion is about faith, not proof. He said, well, in Islam, we have both. Faith and proof. And without realizing, here's my mouth. You know, it starts talking and I'm listening to myself say something really stupid. I said, do you mean to sit there and tell me as a Muslim, you can prove there's God? He said, do you mean to sit there and tell me as a preacher of Christianity that you can't? Because the next question that pops right into my mind is, what's the proof? I would like to know. But if I'm asking him, then how come I'm trying to convert him over to something with no proof? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Whoa. Now we begin to see something that a lot of Muslims forgot about. We have the dalil. We have the proof. Want to tell me the Bible says, I had one come to us yesterday here in Oslo after our program. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Okay. Excuse me. What language? It doesn't matter. God speaks all languages. Yeah, but do you? How did you get this idea? The Bible, the Bible. Which version? The one with 66 books? That's the new, compact, easy to read, modern day, you know, economy version. Or the one, that's the Protestant version, 66 books. Catholic version, 73. Orthodox version, 78. We're not talking about words, sentences, paragraphs. We're talking not even about chapters. We're talking about entire books. Maccabees 1, Maccabees 2, the book of Esther, the book of, and I'm starting to quote, and they're going, what's that? What's that? What's that? Well, that's part of your Bible. You didn't know that? The proof of Islam is clearly the evidence coming to us from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran cannot be tampered with. We did a demonstration of that today. Some of you probably know this better than I do, but there are different qira'ah of the Quran, different recitations, but it doesn't change the meaning of anything. For instance, the difference of a kasra and a dhamma. Have you said al-ladina? Okay, this is those people. Alayhim, okay. Or alayhum, what's the difference? Any difference? No. It's no difference other than these or those. Alayhum, alayhim. Huh? But watch this. Even after I said that, watch this. Ihdina siratul mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. عليهم. Too shy, huh? You think it should be عليهم? Huh? Both are correct. Both are correct. And I'm hearing that from some of you here because you know that. It is right. But the common one that most people know is عليهم, not عليهم. So if an imam happens to read the other recitation, one of the others, and he says عليهم, they'll be like, SubhanAllah! One of our imams from Pakistan studied for many, many years in Arab countries, and he had different qira'ah of Quran. But he was a new imam for us in Texas. And so our brother, Arab brothers that we had there in Texas, praying behind him, you know, and he started reading with this other qira'ah. Now he had told them ahead of time, but these guys came in late. So they were like trying to correct him. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, subhanallah. You know, Jim, it goes like this. Like, and finally they broke away and did their own salah and left. Subhanallah. Amazing. But we wouldn't know any of this that I'm talking about right now if we didn't know about the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, here's where we're at today. Inshallah. The Muslims, alhamdulillah, have managed to propagate all over the world. As I just mentioned several times, have been all the way to the furthest south and the furthest north of the globe, finding masajid, finding Muslims. Is that alhamdulillah? Alhamdulillah. And from all the way around the entire equator, alhamdulillah, Allah let me go, all around to all the continents, Australia, New Zealand, been in Malaysia, in Turkey, Istanbul, if you know about the Blue Mosque, that beautiful mosque that we got, Maghreb, Egypt, and Morocco. So many places, South Africa. Huh? Now guess what they recite in South Africa when they pray? The Quran. And guess what? Would you like to know how the Muslims in Russia, do you know, anybody know Russian language? You know Russian, okay. So, you know how the Russian Muslims greet each other? Yeah, Salaam Alaikum. Because it's the same. Yeah? We're all over the earth. Now, if Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a true prophet, he should be able to tell us something about that. The last days. True or false? Absolutely. Hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There will come a day when your enemies will come to you inviting each other. Your enemies inviting each other to come to destroy you the same way that you invite people to come to a meal, a feast. Come on. Come on over. Come on, come on. Let's go eat. Come on. Come to our place and eat. Only, come on, let's go to the Muslims and wipe them out. Has that ever happened? Enemies, common enemies, coming together to destroy the Muslims. Huh? Has it happened? Well, this is good news for us in a way. Because this is exactly what Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to happen. They will be coming at you like inviting each other to something to eat, a good thing. Let's go have some fun today. Go kill some Muslims. Is it a hadith said that? They said, what will be our condition? Listen to the question they asked. What's going to be our condition? Will we be very few in number? He could have said yes right there, and it would make sense, wouldn't it? After all, 1400 years ago, that's all it could have been, because they were already few in number, but they were beating great numbers of enemies, 10 times as many, sometimes 4 times, 5 times, 8 times, 10 times their number, and still they would win. Allah give the victory. Yes or no?
Yes.
So they're saying we must have been outnumbered. Is that the condition? He said, oh no. He said, you'll be all over the earth. Like what? Like mighty warriors. No. No, he said, like the scum or the foam on a flood. You know the foam, the little bubbles on the flood. Have you seen a flood? Flood is big, but the bubbles is nothing. But it's everywhere, isn't it? Yeah? Did you ever do this with bubbles on top of water? Yeah. Just blow like that. There you go. He said that. Now, question. We just said that people have attacked Muslims coming together to do that. Is it also true? I'm asking you. Are we everywhere on the earth? And are we like this? Really, we're there, but no substance. No, just little bubbles. Boom, blow those little Muslims out of the way. Is that true?
Yes.
Ouch. But then, in the same hadith, they ask Rasulullah SAW, what will be our condition? How can we be like this? What was wrong with us? He said it's because of wahan. Wahan. What is wahan? They didn't know what's wahan. He said wahan is habadunya. Habadunya. The love of money and the fear of death. Oops. Now, for the benefit of those who don't accept hadith, just walk on by. Just don't worry about it. Just take your Quran in Norwegian language or English and interpret it the way you like. But for the benefit of those who would really like to know what's really going to happen, I suggest you learn the Arabiya. The Lughat al-Arabiya is the lagu of the Quran al-Kareem. This is the language of the Quran. Not Norwegian, not Swedish, not English, not Spanish, not Mandarin Chinese. It came in Arabic. And of all the revelations that have come from Allah in the past, it's still the only one that the language of it is still being spoken as a regular language around the world. Today, Muslims, everywhere I've visited, are learning the English language. That may be one of the reasons that I'm so popular, because I'm speaking the language that they all want to learn instead of worrying about the Arabic. Or it could be because they like a white guy. I don't know. But what I do know is that if we're going to really understand our deen, then we should look to the Arabic and then our Quran and the Hadith of Rasul. And again, I'm going to mention one more thing about the Hadith. Inshallah. While some of the Muslims are rejecting Hadith, the enemies of Islam are not. The enemies of Islam are not rejecting these Hadith. They're looking very carefully at it, watching carefully. And some of you know which Hadith I'm talking about. How they're even planning, trying to figure how to change things, how to make it stretch out a while longer. Because they know he's the one that was predicted. They know he's the prophet. But they don't want to accept him. Because he's not the one they want. They know. Better than some of us. So we ask Allah to make us of the people who learn and understand his book in the language. Amen. And we ask Allah to make us of the people who realize the value of the real hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because as his wife said, if you would like to see the Quran walking, look at Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm very happy to have this chance to be with all of you. You're my real brothers in Islam. I love all of you, and I pray for you, and I even pray for those who are not Muslim. I even pray for our enemies. I ask Allah to guide them to Islam. Because guess what? He guided me, and I used to be one of them. So if Allah guides, who can misguide? We ask for guidance. We ask Allah forgive us and give us the Jannah to Firdaus A'la. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Hu Allah di Jalna Muslimin. Jazakum Allahu Khairan. Assalamu alaikum.